Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Some people stay. Welcome back. Junkies Live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. Official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Joining our team right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is John Feinstein, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist, brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're doing well. Did you get your internet back up and running? Please tell
us
yes.
When I got home yesterday after being down there to record my CBS Minutes, the internet, everything was back up. I'm guessing that it probably all came back up 5 minutes after I left.
Of right. Course.
You figures. Know how that works. So,
figures.
But it's all back up, and I can live my life, as they say. It's amazing how dependent we've become on the internet. And, you know,
it's incredible.
Because when I'm writing, I constantly find myself stopping to look up things, check facts, make sure I've got stuff right. And you just take it for granted until you hit the button and it goes, uh-oh, can't do that.
Right.
So,
how about this, John? How about Google Maps? How did we get around Google
Seriously.
Maps? I was driving.
My mom and dad had an infallible way to not get lost, because if they were ever confused, my dad would say to my mom, Bernice, left or right? And my mom would say, left. And he'd go right, and we never got lost. And I have her exact same sense of direction. Anything I think is correct is always wrong. I inherited that.
Your instincts are terrible.
John, I was driving home from RTJ Essex. I play golf out there, and my Google Maps told me to take 66 to 28, and I said, no, there's back roads to Ashburn. So
right.
It rerouted. If I 25 years ago, and these were narrow streets, it was raining, it was dark, I would have died.
Yeah.
I would have died.
I will say this, though. I mean, Google Maps is very good, but it's not infallible.
No, I agree.
Occasionally, when I'm somewhere out, you know, on my long drives to places, it'll take me to a road that doesn't exist or something like that. But it's pretty darn good. It's better than my instincts. Let's put it that way.
Is John Feinstein hitting the road this weekend? Any long trips?
No. I am home. I am very intentionally staying home this weekend. I'm going to go see Longwood play George Mason tonight, because I want to see George Mason play, and I want to see Longwood play. Griff Aldridge, the coach there, was a part of the book that I worked on last season. And I'll stay home tomorrow, watch football games on TV, and just relax for a change. I got to go a week from Tuesday to Sea Island to do some golf work, but I'm going to be home next week. I'm looking forward to it very much.
So what did you think of Tiger's presser? I know you had just written a column saying there's no way Tiger should pick himself, and that was before he won.
Yes.
Right.
But him winning didn't change my opinion.
Yeah.
Because the column wasn't about whether he was good enough to be on the team. He's obviously good enough to be on the team. And when he won, that confirmed that, you know, he's healthy after that minor knee surgery. Although, you know, the definition of minor surgery, surgery performed on someone other than you. But so in terms of making a competitive pick, it was fine. My point in the column was, he doesn't need to play in the President's Cup. It's a second-rate event. We all know that. Unlike the Ryder Cup, he's proven he can win in the President's Cup because the U.S. dominates. He's going to play the week before in the Bahamas in his exhibition thing, you know, for his foundation. Then he's got to fly across the world to Australia, tee it up again a couple days later. He doesn't need to do that. And the other point I made was, why not give somebody who hasn't played in international competition a chance in case they're going to play in the Ryder Cup? Because several players, when I was doing the Ryder Cup book, told me that while playing in the President's Cup isn't nearly the same pressure as the Ryder Cup, the fact that it's basically the same format helped them in terms of preparing for the Ryder Cup. Jordan Spieth was one example of that. So I was thinking, give a new guy who might play on the Ryder Cup team next year a shot. Now, Gary Woodland has never played on a Ryder Cup team, and he got picked, which is a good thing. He won the U.S. Open. So I don't have a problem with Tiger picking himself, and I knew he was going to. You know, Karen Krause in the New York Times had a great lead today saying the pick was about as predictable as hearing Christmas carols on the radio this time of year. And obviously the PGA Tour wanted him to play because it wants all the attention it can get for the event, and the same with Golf Channel. So I don't have a problem with the pick, but I frankly think it would have been better for Tiger to not pick himself.
When is that Bahamas event? Is that usually in December?
It's the week before.
Oh, it's the
week before. Whatever. I think it's like
December 4th.
Moved it up a day to end on Saturday, so I think it's December 4 to 7.
December 4 to 7, yeah, the Hero. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's the corporate name. You know I never mention corporate names.
I'm sorry.
I didn't know that.
I'm just, reading it.
You're welcome to mention it. I just never use them.
I'm just reading it.
What do you call stadiums that have corporate names?
Like I refer to the stadium where the football team here plays as the stadium formerly named for Jack Hancock.
That's just so wordy. It's so troublesome.
But it's kind of funny, and I know it annoys the people connected with the stadium and the team every time I do it, so it's well worth the effort.
You know, I'm stunned that the Nationals have not sold the naming rights to Nationals Park.
Yeah, it's interesting they haven't done. The Orioles haven't done it with Camden Yards either. There are a lot, you know, I mean, the newer ballparks, though, you're right, the especially the brand new ones in the last 15, 20 years, all seem to have corporate names. Giants Park has changed corporate names so many times I can't keep up.
We had a friend that almost brokered a deal for the naming of Nats Park about 10 years ago, and to the point where they were starting to hang the billboard when it got canceled at the last second, and she was about to jump off the building because it cost her about $10 million.
Wow!
Yeah. Wow! Yeah. Well, I still wouldn't jump off the building, but the deals can be very lucrative. I mean, interestingly, the Raven Stadium, which is right next to Oriole Park, has always had a corporate name on it since the day it opened.
Yep, PSI Net way back in the day.
Yeah, and in fact, they kept that name on it for a while after the company went bankrupt.
Mm. Yeah.
John,
they finally hooked up with M&T.
We're gonna have Mark Turgeon on in about an hour to kind of preview the season, and you know, they got off to the good start against Holy Cross. Although I was surprised their defense wasn't. I thought they would just really shut Holy Cross down, but they didn't. But that's fine. It's just one game. What is your thought on this team? It's getting a lot of preseason hype. 7 in the polls.
It is.
They got a lot of depth, a lot of guards. They got some length. And some athleticism down low. I don't know how good these Mitchell twins are. And then this Sudanese kid probably won't be eligible until January because he's got shin splints. But
yeah, but that's when it matters.
Yeah, you're right. So what do you think about the Terps?
I think they're good. I think they have the potential to be very good for all the reasons you just cited. They have depth. They've got a senior point guard, which is always a big deal in college basketball in Cowan. You know, most teams, most big-name teams have freshmen and sophomore playing a lot of minutes, and Maryland will have some young players playing a lot of minutes, obviously. Michigan State also has a senior point guard, and that's why they were picked number one, and I don't make a big deal out of Kentucky beating them, just as I don't make a big deal out of Duke beating Kansas in November. It doesn't matter, ultimately. I think they have the potential to finish, you know, in the top three in the Big Ten, which would certainly get them a good seed in the NCAA tournament. And then it's a matter of who's healthy and matchups when you get to March. And Mark has never been past the Sweet 16 since he got to Maryland. I know a lot of Maryland people are restless about that. I think I've told you guys a story before. Back in 2001, after Maryland lost to Florida State at home, which was a bad loss, I was at a game the next week, and a couple of Maryland alums kind of cornered me and said, you know, we got to get rid of Gary. You know, he's never going to be anything more than a, quote, Sweet 16 coach. And let's go get Mike Bray, you know, who's from the area and was having some, his first year at Notre Dame at that point. No, I'm sorry. He was in his last year at Delaware.
Yeah, he's still in Delaware.
Get Mike Bray.
Yeah.
And I said, guys, he's had you in the tournament every single year. He took over when the program was in shambles. What are you talking about? No, we got to get rid of him. Well, you all know what happened after that. And you have to be patient. Getting to the Final Four is not easy. You know, UCLA made it look easy back in the 60s and 70s, and Duke made it look easy for a while. Between 86 and 94, but it's just not that easy to do. I mean, Gary went twice and he's in the Hall of Fame, and that's right. Lefty never went and he's in the Hall of Fame, and that's also right.
Yeah, I wonder. I think Mike is still bitter that he wasn't offered the job after
when Turge was offered.
Because he was
He's not bitter. No, well, he's really not. I mean, he had mixed emotions about whether he'd take it or not.
Yeah, maybe not
because
now.
Because he knew following Gary would be very hard.
Yeah,
as has been proven by what Mark's dealt with.
He had interest.
And to come back home. Back then, they were still in the ACC. He wasn't thrilled with the idea of competing with Krzyzewski, who he worked for 8 years. So he might have taken it, but he might not have taken it.
Well, he can certainly get the players into Maryland that he struggles to get into Notre Dame.
Yeah, but you know what? He's gotten good players into Notre Dame. They've gone to the Elite Eight twice. They should have beaten Kentucky in 2015 in that regional final. He's the all-time winningest coach at Notre Dame.
Oh, they're going to have a statue of him outside there.
Yeah. That's because he coaches them up.
Digger would knock it down.
That's
Digger
possible.
Would take a hammer to it.
You know, we haven't talked much at all about this ruling. You follow this more than we do about how players will be able to sell their likenesses. When will this go into effect? This could have major implications.
Well, the law in California that set all this in motion wouldn't go into effect till 2023.
Okay.
I have a feeling it will start probably more like 2021 because one of two things is going to happen. Congress is talking about legislation, bipartisan, by the way, legislation, which never happens anymore, to make it a law that players can make money off their names, images, and likenesses. And the reason for that is the NCAA, first of all, when California passed the law, Mark Emmert's out there saying, well, it would be terrible if we had to declare all these players from California ineligible because they were making money. That didn't work. You know, then when the law did pass, Jim Delaney and Larry Scott and Emmert and others were running around screaming, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. That hasn't worked. Basically, the NCAA, so then 2 weeks ago, they come out and say, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. Oh, we are so in favor of this. We've got it. You know, we don't need laws. We'll take care of it. And then if you read the press release they put out, it says, well, we have to distinguish between a college athlete and a professional athlete. Well, how the hell do you do that? If you're getting paid to, sell cars for somebody, like if Orsman hired a Maryland basketball player to say, do a TV commercial and say, buy Orsman cars. How do you differentiate, quote unquote, between a college athlete and a professional athlete? You can't. I mean, they're grasping at straws now, and they're trying to claim, okay, fellas, back off. We'll take care of it. They won't. They won't. I wouldn't trust the NCAA to tell me what day it is tomorrow. Mm. They'd probably tell me it's Tuesday. So there should be a law. It should go through Congress. I am one of those guys who always says Congress should lay off of sports. This is an exception because you cannot trust the NCAA on any level. They will lie. They will make stuff up. They are propaganda artists to the nth degree. And if I hear from any, I got a bunch of tweets because I wrote a column about this when it happened. I got a bunch of tweets from people saying they're getting a college education. That should be enough. They're not going to college to major in history. They're going to college because the rules say they must in football and basketball. 3 years for football, one for basketball. But they're going to college to train to do something professionally like we all do. Mm-hmm. And they're training to be football players. They're training to be basketball players. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. So all those people are saying, well, they're getting a free education. Shut up. Because they are making the schools billions of dollars in return.
John's in a good mood, as usual.
I'm in a great mood today.
Good. So am I.
I'm in a great mood, but the NCAA can put me in a bad mood.
Yeah, it riles him up.
Yeah, it did. All right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right. John Feinstein, everybody, always very opinionated.
Back-to-back days with Feinstein. Thursday quick hitter and his normal spot on Friday.
I mean, if you're like, imagine how much Zion would have made if he could have sold Duke Zion jerseys. Right?
Would have made a boatload.
No, I guess he'll be able to, like, once they enact that, he'll be able to capitalize on it, given that he's still hot, right? When they sell future Duke Zion jerseys with his number or whatever.
I guess so, but if it's 2023, are people still going to want to buy a Zion Duke jersey?
I guess so. People still buy a Carolina 23s. If you're transcendent, people still buy bias Maryland jerseys. If you're that level, and Hopefully Zion.
You still
is.
Have that, right?
You, move
you,
the
have,
merch.
You have the bias jersey mm-hmm. framed.
I actually have it framed.
I bought one for my son too. Yeah. He used to wear it at Terps games all the time.
What I'd love to get my hands on is that poster that like there was like a full size poster of Lenny that mm-hmm. was out there.
It was the Nike poster, I think.
I can't remember. Well, there's two iconic pictures. There's one where he's holding the two basketballs, and then there's one where it's like a full size. Poster. Love to get my hands on one of those.
All right, still have a bunch of guests coming up on the show. As Jason mentioned, Mark Turgeon, Maryland head coach, is going to join us coming up at 9. We'll talk some college hoops with him. Nick Costas to give us winners at 9:45. And Kevin will join us to fill us in on the movies coming up at 8:40 here on The Junkie. Maybe you'll feel better about it because Chase Young, the star defensive tackle for Ohio State, suspended indefinitely.
Defensive end,
yeah. That's amazing.
That just
reading
broke.
It right now.
They're saying that there are rumors on why, but there's no further detail.
So these kind of things happen sometimes. It's like a little tiny little thing, and just to protect the team, they'll suspend you indefinitely, and they clear it up, and then you're back the next week. That's what it sounds like this might be. Multiple sources have indicated that the program is optimistic Young will be cleared to return to the Buckeyes this season, but a resolution for the matter still hasn't been reached. So maybe there's been some sort of minor transgression here, and then just to protect everyone, they suspend him. No better game to suspend him than the Maryland game. Clear it up, and then declare him back on the team.
Yeah, let's hope.
These kinds
let's
of things have
him.
Happened before.
Somebody of that ilk, though, that could be the number one pick in the draft, I could see easily taking money from an agent early.
Yeah, I'm not.
Speculation.
That's huge speculation. These kinds of things are, a lot of times they're little when these kinds of things happen.
Let's hope for his sake it is.
A lot of times they're not.
Yeah, we'll see. No details are out.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some digging.
I'm going to guess it's something small. It's a quirky little thing. And just to protect everybody involved, they're going to hold him out in the Maryland game. And then they'll say, they resolve.
If he is taking money a few months before he's going to get paid an S ton of money in the NFL
draft,
then it's a
dog move.
That's
speculation. And I'm going to say that's not what it is.
No, we just don't know at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But that's crazy speculation. I think it's something trivial. But just by reading what they're reporting, that the program's optimistic he'll be cleared to return.
Well, I still wouldn't be optimistic betting the Terps plus 44 whether Chase Young is playing or not, because they'll just pluck another 5-star and throw him in there, and he'll go terrorize Piggy.
Yeah, it'd be
company.
Interesting to see how the line is affected by that. You think it'd be affected by 4 or 5 points, or
no,
it'll still stay the same?
I don't think it'd go that low.
I mean, he is having such a dominant year that you can make the argument. Certainly, I think he'll be one of the finalists for the Heisman.
Hopefully,
let's say he only
invited.
Misses the one game. You know, and he finishes with like 20, 25 sacks or something. I mean, how could you not give it to him?
Well, I mean, it's a quarterback award. That's why.
Yeah, but I mean, there have been defensive players that have won.
Well, Woodson. Yeah, I get it. Just it's rare. And I think with the years that these guys are having, you know, the Hurts of the world and the Burrow, and I just think it would be difficult for him to win.
I don't know. I think it might. I think those guys haven't. They've had moments where they haven't been spectacular.
Burrow's been pretty good,
but I think hasn't Hurts had one or two. Tua's missed a game or two, right, with injury. I don't know.
He's missed a game.
Yeah,
but they're number 2 and 3 in the country in passing. I mean, their offensive numbers are crazy. I'm just saying. I think Chase Young should be invited to the Heisman.
I think he'll definitely be invited.
I just don't think he'll win.
It'd be nice to see him win. I think he's the most dominant player.
He's incredible.
I don't watch a lot.
He is incredible. So
but
hopefully
their quarterback's
this is not a
stud there too, though. Justin Fields has put up big numbers.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, they kill everybody.
Meanwhile, what's the Miami kid? What's Tate Martell doing? Has he caught one ball playing like fifth team receiver for the Hurricanes? Because he's not going to play quarterback.
No, he couldn't beat out a couple different guys.
What a fall from grace.
His 2019 season stats. Look like
bagels
across the board. Bunch of these.
He's gonna end up transferring to like Eastern Louisiana or something and try to put together 1 year so that he can maybe play in Canada. That's the only thing I see for.
Well,
Tate
he should
Martell.
Just trap. Yeah, transfer to an FCS school.
That's what I mean. You know, some directional school you've barely heard of.
Right. During the break, EB asked me about Trevor Booker, and I know nothing about this Trevor.
Well,
Booker.
I was out of it yesterday.
I was basically in bed most of the day.
This is a drabby deal. Drabby found this audio I don't know, did he do an interview or a podcast with someone?
He was on with Alex Kennedy, who's runs Hoops Hype. And he has his own podcast.
And so this is, and so I see AWOD raising his arms up. This is an AWOD find.
He wants producer
credit.
Yeah,
he's Adam wants one up.
Okay.
He loves the Wiz.
And
I'm
so
the
let's
Wiz
set
guy.
This up. So Trevor Booker, I believe, is he still in the league?
Yes.
Still cashing checks. Yeah.
All right. So the Wizards
Utah?
Drafted him back.
Last I saw, he was on Utah.
Back in 2010. Yeah, that was a while ago because he's played with Brooklyn. He's played with the Sixers. He's played with the Pacers. So I'm not sure exactly where he is right now. In fact, the last stats I have on him are 17 and 18. I don't have any 18 and 19 stats. Or, yeah, 19.
Yeah, he's not on a roster.
Yeah,
looks like
not.
He's playing in, he might be playing in China.
He's playing in China. So Booker was drafted by the Wizards back in 2010, 2011. Let me see who was on this on that team to remind you. That was back with Gil, Mike Bibby, Andre Blotch, Jordan Crawford. Remember that group? Kirk
Heinrich.
Did Mike
Bibby have like a two-game cameo with the Wiz?
Josh Howard. Okay. That was that group. Mm-hmm. All right. JaVale McGee.
What an uninspiring bunch.
And apparently he talks about sort of that experience there and how wild it was, especially his rookie year, right? Let's hear the audio.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, thinking back on it, you know, it's the most terrible team that I've probably been on. But it was probably the most fun that I've ever had in the NBA because those guys didn't care at all. You know, I would come into the locker room the day of a game and watch, you know, one player cut up a suit of another player. You know, one guy took a in another guy's shoe. Oh my goodness. I have stories for days. We would go on the road, we would break into each other's room and beat a player up, tie him up. It was so many stories I got from those Washington days. It was so much fun, but looking back on it, oh my goodness. It was so unprofessional. That was all I knew. It's my first NBA team. So I'm like, wow, the NBA is really a show. But, you know, as soon as I went to Utah, I was like, wow, this is way different. This is way more professional, you know. And I really like this a lot more. It's a lot more structured. You know, it's family oriented. You know, I really went to Utah and I was like, wow, this is completely different. And then, you know, I went to other organizations and I realized that, you know, what I had in Washington, it was not normal at all. Pretty crazy. And one of the stories that I didn't mention was, you know, outside of the nightclub, you know, one night my teammates got to fighting. They got to fighting with each other, though. That's the thing.
Oh.
Yeah, two teammates got to fighting each other outside the locker room. I mean, not the locker room, but outside of the nightclub.
So he doesn't name names. Look, a lot of this. Stop it for a second, please.
So he's just talking about the one year, his rookie year.
I guess his introduction into the league.
Wasn't that nightclub brawl? I want to say it was like Blatch and maybe McGee.
Could have been.
Didn't those guys?
We know Gilbert's the one that dropped a deuce in the shoe.
Yeah.
And
we've
probably Nick
that.
Young is probably the guy that cut the suit up. This team had some clowns. That Nick Young. Now John was just in his rookie year.
It was the Nick Young, Blatch, McGee,
Arenas
trio that was really the height of stupidity and just a bunch of donks.
Poor Flip
running around crazy.
Flip Saunders.
Oh,
was
that
there.
Was Flip. Yeah,
yeah. Just trying to.
Like, could you imagine being?
Hold
on. You're in your room. I don't know. You're Jahidi White, whoever it is at that point. You're sleeping, and then these guys break into your room in the middle of the night, and they beat you up and they tie you up.
Flip those had no control.
Those are your teammates.
I'm real surprised they only won 23 games that year.
Yeah. Is that all they won?
I mean, Trav, could you imagine if we went on the road to West Palm for a Nats trip and we broke into your room in the middle of the night and we beat you up and then we tied you up with like the hotel room towels?
Well, if I was part of it, sounds like it would be fun.
Right?
I'm not the one getting beat up.
No.
I'd be so bitter. I just went to Alton Lane and got my suit and everything. Those guys all had custom suits.
Oh, yeah.
And some dude just took scissors to your suit and destroyed it?
Somebody did that for a Major League Baseball team. To an Asian pitcher. I think it was a Korean pitcher. I can't remember. I think
and they cut up all his suits?
They cut off like the sleeves of his suits.
So bitter.
He it was a suit that had been, I think, gifted to him by his family, and he was distraught.
So it's safe to say the worst culture in the NBA that you could have?
Pretty bad from the sound of it.
I mean, we knew it was bad. We didn't know it was that bad, right? Is there more there that we're missing?
Yeah, you got to hear the end of the clip.
There's more that we're missing? Okay.
And not in the locker room, but outside of the nightclub. It was oh my goodness, it was a wild night. And then one of my other teammates, he tried to jump in and break it up, and he ended up getting beat by the cops, and I had to drive him home, and he was crying the whole way. It was, oh my goodness, it was so many stories from that rookie year.
Wow.
I'm just glad I got out alive.
Who's the guy? Who's the guy that got beat up by the cops?
I don't think he named who it was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
People have been going on Twitter kind of guessing who the one crying was.
Yeah.
A lot of people say JaVale McGee.
Could be.
I could see that.
Oopsie. Maybe Young.
You said it was Blatch and
McGee. I thought it was Blatch and
McGee.
And McGee that got into some sort of brawl.
Was that a local nightclub?
I'm not sure.
Hmm. Is that when Blatch didn't he try to pick up a hooker and it was an undercover cop?
I think that was a separate incident.
That was another incident. Yeah.
They were a mess.
Dude, the NBA is just wild. Did you see the dude who made I think he did like an algorithm that basically plotted out James Harden's performance against, like, when he's on the road? He leveled it off with the quality of the strip clubs that were in each town, and then he would basically plot out how Harden's stats would either rise or fall depending on how good the strip clubs are in Atlanta as opposed to Dallas.
Correct,
as opposed
right.
to, you know,
so
Toronto.
If the strip clubs are good in that particular city, he's going to have a bad game.
Yes. Yeah. It was generally the way it was pointed out. And I could totally believe it.
I mean, Flip, in his 3 years here, he had just had no control. They had 26 wins, 23 and 20.
Right.
Before he was finally let go and Whitman took over for him.
It says
he had no control.
It says
don't
that,
forget, was it Ed Tapscott was the interim? Was that the guy
that
came
in the middle?
Or am I getting my coaching?
I think that was before. Wasn't
okay.
It? Wasn't that
okay.
Before
Flip? It might have been. That might have been post Eddie Jordan.
Yeah.
What were we going to say?
All right, looking at an old article here, it was at Shadow Room in D.C., and Al Thornton was hit by a bouncer as he stepped in to break things up.
Al Thornton, I barely remember him.
Yeah. He's the one that was crying in the car
crying
when
the
Trevor Booker
home,
was
yeah.
taking
is he like a big, massive, like power forward
definitely
dude?
A stretch four.
Yeah.
Al Thornton.
I can't even find that dude. He's from Florida State.
Man, that was just
how long
what
he
a
lasted.
Crazy year.
But I mean, no one could be surprised, right?
I think we need to get Trevor on the show.
You want to get Trevor on the show? He's already done the interview.
I know, but maybe we get some new stuff out of him.
He doesn't have anything new to offer. But anyway, more insight. But that was really, those are the days. I mean, that team only won 23 games. I watched a lot of those games.
Oh, I watched a ton of those games.
I wasn't nearly as punched out then as I am now. I was way more involved. I remember all those guys.
Hey, you got Wiz Cavs tonight.
That's true.
Just tune in.
That's true. They are fun to watch. There's some young guys. It'd be nice if they play some defense every once in a while.
All right, it is a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. But coming up next, we talk movies with Kevin McCarthy here on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan. Don't forget, coming up at 9, Mark Turgeon, head coach of the Terps, will join us. Talk about the beginning of their season. But right now, we're joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter from Fox 5. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, JP.
JP's sick.
Good morning.
Don't talk to JP.
Good morning, Kevin.
No, I know JP's not there, but I still have to do
I'm here.
He's here. He's just sickly.
You should just go home.
Fine.
Actually. You should just go home.
I should be just going to Dr. Sleep. Yes, you should.
Pop a squeeze. No, I'm actually walking down Hollywood Boulevard at 5:45 in the morning by myself right now talking to you guys through an earpiece. So I probably it looks weird.
I just read that one of the guys that dresses up as Superman just died. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I did not see that. You talking about somebody on Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah, you know where those guys dress up?
Oh, just like some donk?
I think it's Hollywood Boulevard.
Some
I don't know.
Some donk on the street corner that wants you to pay like $3 for a picture?
Yeah, they do that out in L.A., like in front of the Chinese theater
and all
that. All
the starving waiters, aspiring actors.
Some guy has done it for like 20 years. He dressed up as Superman. He'd even gotten on like the Kimmel show a few times. He'd gotten quite a lot of notoriety.
Yeah.
And they found him it's awful, like upside down in like a dumpster or something.
Oh.
It doesn't sound very Superman-esque. No, it's awful. Yeah,
thank you for that story at 8:45 in the morning, Eric Bickle. That's awful.
Well, no,
but
you see that. You see guys dressed up. It's costume. And that's how they make their living.
Yeah, that's how they make their cash.
Yeah.
So you saw Dr. Sleep. I tried to set you up with the Dr. Sleep reference there.
No, I know you did. I know. Dr. Sleep is the sequel to The Shining. So you guys have seen The Shining, right?
Of course.
Of course. No.
Of course, Ricky.
Right. You haven't seen The Shining?
Not interested. I don't see horror movies.
Mm. Yeah. A good
Eric,
one.
Do you know what The Shining is?
I know Jack Nicholson is in it.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, I mean, this is clearly, like, one of the scariest movies of all time. Did you guys know there was a sequel to The Shining, or Dr. Sleep was a sequel to The Shining?
Kind of based on watching the trailers.
Yeah, see, the trailers kind of tips you off to the fact that it is indeed a sequel to The Shining.
Well, I guess the whole thing about this was, this was a sequel written by Stephen King a few years back. It wasn't something he wrote back when he wrote The Shining, but this is essentially dealing with Danny Torrance, the young kid's character, all grown up. Ewan McGregor plays the grown-up version of the character. And essentially, you can tell in the trailers, he returns to the Overlook Hotel to battle some more demons. And Rebecca Ferguson plays a villain in this film, who you probably know from Mission Impossible, Fallout, and Rogue Nation. She's an amazing actress. This is directed by the guy who did The Haunting of Hill House. Did you guys see that on Netflix? It was a TV show. It was a series. It was a really, really scary series. Mike Flanagan directed it. He directed this sequel to The Shining, Dr. Sleep, and it is absolutely terrifying. If you guys are fans of The Shining, or you loved the way that Stanley Kubrick kind of built that unnerving anxiety in that film, this is exactly what Mike Flanagan's doing here. A lot of people are saying that, and again, I didn't read the books for The Shining or Dr. Sleep, but the books for The Shining, you know, if you guys know this, Stephen King was not happy with the ending that Stanley Kubrick did in The Shining. He was not happy with the way they took the character of Jack Torrance. So apparently this film, Dr. Sleep, is actually a kind of a mending of Stanley Kubrick's
movie.
Wait a second.
They didn't like the end when he's running through the maze and he's butt cold at the end. They didn't like that ending?
Well, I don't know if you guys know this. If you read the Stephen King novel, which I did not read, I read about this recently. In The Shining book, the Overlook Hotel actually burns down. And then Jack Torrance actually apparently has a bit of a redeemable moment where he kind of feels bad for what he did. And then in Kubrick's movie, The Shining, the movie we all know and love, the Overlook Hotel does not burn down. And Jack Torrance really does not get a redeemable moment. So this movie kind of, Dr. Sleep, brings back those elements that Stephen King wasn't a fan of in The Shining movie, and kind of not fixes them here, but kind of brings back that vibe of what King was going for in his original novel.
So
very, very scary.
Who plays, is Ewan McGregor, you said, plays Torrance?
Yeah, so Danny Torrance is all grown up, and he's right. Played by Ewan McGregor. Rebecca Ferguson plays the villain. It's a really, really powerfully done, very brutal experience. I will say this, though. If you're a fan of The Shining and you know that level of scare and that level of violence you're going to get in those movies, that's kind of what Mike Flanagan kind of brought back here with this film. So
does Ewan McGregor's finger talk in this movie?
You know what's funny is that they didn't actually bring that in a big way, to be honest. So you know, Danny Lloyd, the guy who played the original Danny Torrance, was, you know, 4 or 5 years old or so when he played the original character in The Shining. So a lot of things had changed in Ewan McGregor's character's life. I don't remember him specifically doing anything with his finger. I just remember being, like, blown away by the visuals. And he's not really the leading character in the film. He's just kind of the anchor of the story. It's more about Rebecca Ferguson's character and a little girl who kind of ties the characters together. It's very well done. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Highly, highly recommend it.
My wife wants me to go see The Good Liar with her.
I know. I want to see that, too, because that was the movie that screened out last week. I was traveling for The Irishman when that was screening. But that movie I'm going to see, it's Helen Mirren and Sir Ian McKellen. I've heard it's actually really good. I heard it has a really good twist to it. I'll let you guys know when I see it. Yeah. I did, by the way, see Parasite, which is a movie playing now. We're in the D.C. area, which is an incredible film. And I also saw The Lighthouse. Now, I don't know if you guys know. Have you guys heard of The Lighthouse?
I've seen clips of The Lighthouse with Defoe and good old Bobby Pattinson from Twilight.
Okay. Let me tell you guys something right now. This is arguably the weirdest, most disturbing and horrifying film I've seen in a long time.
Really? It is,
so Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe go to a lighthouse. They're supposed to spend 4 weeks there. This is, you know, years and years and years and years ago in the past. But you're dealing with these two guys who are essentially going mad with each other. So when they first get to the lighthouse in the beginning, like, one of the first things that happens is Willem Dafoe just lets out this, you know, just passes gas in the lighthouse. And, you know, that kind of creates this tension that becomes this whole element throughout the whole movie. But it is genuinely one of the weirdest, most strangest films I've seen. It's black and white. It's, you know, it's very, very strange and out there. But I enjoyed it, but just know what you're getting yourself into. It's funny, when I interviewed Dafoe the other day in L.A. for a different film, and I was leaving the room, and I turned around, and I said, hey, you know, the passing gas towns in Lighthouse, were those real or added later? And he goes, well, I'm a vegetarian, so some were real and some were added later on. I thought it was kind of funny. I don't know. He's such a legendary actor. It's just funny that he was able to joke about that kind of stuff.
All right, Kevin, no, you got to run. So 4.5 for
Dr. Sleep.
And then Dr. Sleep.
Irishman is officially out in your area. I gave it a 5 out of 5. It's honestly one of the best movies of the year. You can only see it at E Street Cinemas and Bethesda Row Cinemas right now, and then it'll be on Netflix streaming the 27th. But if you really, really can't wait to see it, you can see it now in D.C. at E Street.
I can wait till the 27th.
By the way, you don't ever do your little bit at the end of the interviews where you say movies people sleep on, but I'm going to add one, Prisoners. Movies people sleep on, Prisoners.
I don't sleep on Prisoners.
Because Paul Dano's face doesn't look too good in that movie.
You think I sleep on that movie?
That's a good one, yeah.
I do not.
Jason, I agree with you, man. Prisoners, and I would definitely add in there a little Sicario as well. Same director.
Oh, yeah, Sicario, of course. All right, man.
All right. Love you guys. Love seeing you guys at the parade. That was awesome.
All right, it was good to see you, buddy.
Have fun in Cali, my friend.
All right, pal.
Thank you for the hug, by the way. I appreciate it. And Jason, watching you walk down the street like a king, that was my favorite thing, man. Yep. That was awesome.
The king was there.
Love you guys.
All right, thank you.
When Kevin was on the streets there doing kind of play-by-play for Fox 5, he knew more than 4 players. No. He'd be lucky to be able to name
Scherzer,
more than
Strasburg.
One or two. Like, he might be able to name Strasburg and Scherzer, but
that's it. Maybe
he doesn't
Rendon.
Know who Anthony Rendon is. No Maybe. Way. Impossible.
It's all right. He doesn't need to know him. He's going to be not here anymore. Although, we were talking about, maybe we should kick this around at some point. Although, you got 9 million guests, so I don't know. Whenever you want us to talk, just let us know.
Let's see. We've got Turge coming up in, about 9 minutes.
Right.
I just read something yesterday or the day before that was speculating that Rendon was going to the Dodgers. Will they have a silly third baseman?
Justin Turner? I don't know what his contract situation is.
I don't know where he's going to end up. He's an unbelievable third baseman, though, Rendon. But, you know, Greenberg threw out there yesterday, and, you know, there's no time to kick it around now. Maybe we can do it next week, whatever.
Why so, Rick? Why, it's Friday.
I get annoyed by all the guests.
Yeah, but that's what we
guests.
Do.
I know
Friday.
You just want callers to call in so you can listen to them talk.
No. I like to interact. I just like to interact more with them.
By the way, Justin Turner is a free agent after this year. He gets $19 million this year. He's just finishing up a 4-year deal. So he's a UFA in 2021. So maybe that's what.
But Greenberg suggested the exact opposite of what the conventional wisdom has been, at least by the people that I'm around. The conventional wisdom of the people that I'm talked to is that Strauss will stay and Rendon will leave. He suggests, no, they'll cough up more money to keep Rendon and let Strauss go. And Corbin, you know, that's why they signed Corbin, to potentially ease that loss. I think what we've seen is you need more than just like Corbin. You know what I mean? I still think they need another pitcher.
Oh, if
they keep
Strauss. If Strasburg departs, they would certainly be in the market for at least one other frontline starter.
I think even if Strauss stays,
sure,
I'd like to have another one.
They might be sized for Joe Ross.
I like him too, but you know, I'm talking about frontline.
Right. Like a number one or number two guy.
But who would you rather have if you had to pick one of the two?
I think I would probably rather have Rendon plays every day. And I still, you know, Strasburg avoided injury this year, but I still believe he's a ticking time bomb.
I think I'd go Rendon because Tommy Lavero spooked me about the whole timeline as far as post-Tommy John surgery and how long those guys last.
But they also, Strassi's performance proved that you need, because Max,
studs.
Look, Max is just, he's not getting younger.
Yeah.
And you need multiple studs.
Dude, it's gotten to the point where it was kind of arguable before that Max was, even though Max wasn't pitching great, that Max was your ace. The way he performed in the postseason and everything, I think if it stayed intact, like, I think Strauss would start opening day. Like, Strauss would be your guy. Not to say
I think he might be deserving, but I doubt that he would.
Well, think about it. And they couldn't have won the World Series without either of them, but they absolutely wouldn't have won without Strassi.
Right.
And can you bank on Max and Corbin as your 1-2 when you could have Max, Strassi, Corbin 1-2-3?
Yeah, I think I would let Rendon go as much as I would hate to, and then I would pray this kid Keyboom that everyone's hyping up is the real deal, even though he had a million errors when he came up here.
And he, you know, struck out all the time.
Hit 100.
Yeah, but he hit 300 when he went to AAA. He had a good year.
A lot of guys are kings of AAA.
Understood. Just saying, they're definitely high on him.
All right, coming up next, we will switch gears, even though it's a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook of Hollywood Casino at Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Talk a little college hoops. The head coach at the University of Maryland, Mark Turgeon, joins us on The Junkie.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.